All right, everybody, welcome to the first live edition of Green Legion Radio here at South Philly Chickies and Pizza. Did you guys like that reverb already? I think we might have a problem with Chris's mic on the end being as close to that speaker as it is. But what do we got here? Chris, you all right there? It's yours.
Feedback.
Yeah, feedback. We're going to work on that in just a second. But everybody, in case you don't know what the hype is about, every week starting this Tuesday, yes, today, September 10th, we will be here for 1 hour from 6 to 7 with my favorite panel to the left, starting producing the show, my good friend Rob Valivas. Rob, how are you today?
What's up, Quimby? What's going on?
Happy to have you here working with us. Also, good friend, Eagles Insider. You know him as the man who just knows everything about everything when it comes to the Eagles. Yeah. Mr. Dave Spadaro.
Hi, Quimby.
Thanks for working with us on this.
Love it, man. Thanks for having me.
This is great. To his left, if you don't know Super Bowl hero from 2017, this is Glassboro's own Corey Clement.
Clement.
That too.
How many people get your name wrong? Everybody.
Everybody. It's all good.
I'm just going with stud. How about that?
Yeah, super stud.
Eagles wide receiver legend. I promise I won't screw this one up. Arkansas Fred Barnett.
Yeah, Arkansas Freddy.
It's actually Bennett.
Yeah. Is it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Damn.
Just keep messing with him all show.
It's all right. He loves it. I've got about 1,000 this entire time. And our Phillies insider, whose microphone is currently getting too much feedback. Are you there?
Am I?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hold on. We might want to bring him down. We're going to bring him down to Pops here for just a second. You're going to come over here and take the mic there. Everybody, just so you know, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. We are currently breaking top 50 on iTunes, top sports podcast,
okay.
Which is pretty impressive considering
to be here.
Yeah, no, that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee over at Starbucks, but... What's that, Dave?
And everybody here at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, come on up and say hi to Corey, say hi to Freddie, say hi to us.
Absolutely.
We're here for an hour.
Don't bite.
We're excited about the Eagles starting the season the right way with a win over the Washington Redskins. Big night in South Philadelphia. We got the Phillies trying to hang in, Quimby.
I know, and we're going to get Chris on that in just a second. But real quick, our sponsors, people that make this happen, besides our good friend Dave Spadaro, we've got Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer, you're drinking Miller Lite. Bucks County Baseball Company. Check out their website, buckscountybaseballco.com. David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. The Mattiuk Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in the city. All City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, East Market. Our good podcast friends at 4th and John, if you know E-Rock and the boys, as well as Sean Brace and Philly Influencer and 102.5 The Gambler, their new station. And, of course, once again, we have to thank our good friends here at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. Roger, Pete, Sean, Eric, Sue, Dennis behind the bar, everybody that's given us an opportunity to host the show.
And you know what? We got a good crowd here tonight. We got a great buzz. This is just the beginning. We got a wonderful season ahead of us. So everybody, come on down Tuesday nights, 6 o'clock, Chickies and Pete, South Philadelphia. We'll have a different Eagle in here every week.
Absolutely. Cool. Thank you for that, because I am forgetting all kinds of stuff, Dave, and I appreciate
right,
you picking
me up. You're the boss.
We do have a fallen comrade. He couldn't be here this week, Hollis, because of certain work restrictions. But I'm going to take over his small segment. This day in history, I'm not going to tell you how many days in the year that are left. You know what I know? There's about 150 days left until we're in the Super Bowl again.
Uh-oh. I like that.
That's the only one I care about.
I like that.
But what happened in sports history today, there's going to be a couple audits. But 1950, Joe DiMaggio, first to hit 3 home runs in a game at Griffith Stadium. 1960.
And that city, the city of Griffith Stadium, is what, Quimby?
No, it's all you, baby.
Washington.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Washington, D.C.
That's why we always quote-unquote right. Washington in our shirts, because, as you know, the Redskins don't play in Washington, don't have offices in Washington, don't have training camp in Washington. There's nothing about them that's Washington.
Right.
That's why it's always in quotes. But 1960, Mickey Mantle hits a 643-foot home run over the right field roof in Detroit. I want to audit that still.
Okay.
And in 1961, he loves this day, he hit 400 home runs. Two fighters, Muhammad Ali TKOs, Carl Mildenberger, to take the heavyweight boxing title, as well as Larry Holmes TKO Scott Frank in 1983 for the heavyweight boxing title. Two interesting facts there. And tennis, Billie Jean King takes her first of four U.S. single crowns, and Jimmy Connors beats Bjorn Borg to take the first to win the U.S. Open three times on a different surface. That's kind of interesting. And then finally, important because it's a football stat. In 1989, 5 days after hitting a home run for the Yankees in a 12-2 defeat over the Mariners, Deion Sanders returns a 68-yard punt for a touchdown, his first for the Atlanta Falcons.
That's pretty impressive. That's amazing.
It is a stat. I can't stand Deion Sanders, but it's a stat.
You respect him, don't you?
You have to respect that.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to respect. I wish I could hit a baseball.
Me too.
I wish I could see a baseball.
You ever play baseball, Corey?
I played baseball a little bit, but this is why I'm playing football.
You know, I actually played in high school. I got hit by a curveball, and at that point I said, no way. Now, when I retired, I played for a 38 and over league in Northeast.
Okay.
In Northeast Philly. I played for the Northeast Phillies, and I hit 268.
Nice.
I was very proud of myself.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So I should have hung in there with baseball.
Did those old guys throw curveballs?
My knees, they're not as good. Yeah. They're not as good. They don't move as much. So I was able to hit that.
Everybody, real fast, we're going to do this as long as baseball is still in season. We are Phillies hopefuls regardless of what anybody hates or likes. Our official Phillies correspondent here on Green Legion Radio, Chris Sack, is here. Chris, I got 3 minutes for you. For everything you can tell me about the Phillies and their possibility of getting into the playoffs. Mm. Hold on.
Well, first of all, it starts out with the ace of the staff, Aaron Nola. Phillies have lost four straight starts that have been started by the ace of the staff. He has a 5.01 ERA in those starts. Last night was his 15th start this season where he had at least three walks. He had eight such starts all of last season, which goes to show how much he has struggled with his command this season. He's 0-1 in two starts this September with an ERA above 8. And this is after last September's struggles where he went 2-3 with a 3.72 ERA, which was a full run and a half higher than his ERA collectively in 2018. Mm. So he has had his struggles in September the last 2 years. With the many struggles of the Phillies that they've had and continue to have, Nolan needs to step it up. And if he starts every 5 days the rest of the way like he has been, he'll be on the mound five more times a season if the Phillies can somehow stay in the wild card race. Ugh.
How do we feel about this? Let's be honest.
All right,
because if Hollis was here, we're
going to make the playoffs or not? What is it?
Well, I know how Big Dog feels about it, and to me, I still think it's interesting. I mean, I want October baseball to happen, whether it's a one game playoff or
something.
We win that game, something. Because I keep on saying I would love to make that trip down to Washington with the Green Legion. Like, we would have a lot of fun with that against Scherzer. So we're three games behind the Cubs with 19 to go. Also, we'll need to hurdle the Brewers and Diamondbacks and haul off the Mets. 16 of those games are against teams over 500, and the other three, which are the last three of the games of the season, which are against the Marlins, and we're 7-9 against them, which is mind-numbing. The schedule is not the Phillies' friend right now, and the schedule may be ticking on the clock may be ticking on their on some people's tenures on this staff, including the pitching coach Chris Young, manager Gabe Kapler, and perhaps even general manager Matt Kladtek, and team president Andy McPhail. But with John Middleton slapping high fives with Jeffrey Lurie's wife at the Eagles game this past Sunday, while the team is battling for a wild card spot 90 miles away, one can only wonder if Middleton has forgotten about his own declaration of, quote, winning that damn trophy back or I'm going to die trying, end quote.
You know, I went down last night, and Aaron Nola gives up the first batter home run, and the whole energy of the building just totally deflated.
Acuna hits that shot.
I don't know
shot.
If it was a hangover from the Eagles game, but it was like dead. It was dead down there.
It's a dead attitude right now. And when I think about how we played the Marlins this year, seriously, gets on my nerves. Chris, next time I'm not going to have you read from a script. You're just going to wing it because you're better off when you do that.
Thanks.
Love
Appreciate
you.
It, Quinn.
Chris Sack, our official Phillies correspondent, soon to be our official Flyers correspondent, which...
Hey, man, I think the Flyers are going to be good. Am I the only optimist here?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I just bought tickets for the opening game,
I guess I'm right there.
You'll see.
Ice hockey.
Okay, we're going to get to a quick segment around the league, then we're going to take our first break, come back, and we're going to talk immediately about Sunday and everything that took place there. For a hot minute, I wanted to talk about Antonio Brown. I don't.
Are you sure?
I want to hear what Corey has to say.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, you know what? Yes. I want to hear what Corey has to say.
Yeah. What do you think, Corey?
About Mr. Brown's actions?
Yes.
I mean, I don't
know. Is he an elder statesman to you?
Yeah. Hey, whatever AB is doing is what AB is doing. I feel as if he may have his rhyme or reason why he's doing what he's doing, because we're not in the locker room. We don't know what the case may be. We know the NFL is a business. And at the end of the day, he wants to make his best business decision. And if it's not for the Raiders,
of course,
then let's see if it works out on the Patriots. I'm just worried about the Bird game.
I think it's very interesting that it only took how long for him to sign with the Patriots?
Yeah, hours.
Hours to sign with the Patriots.
Fred, I was watching the ticker tape, and it said that he was available for free agency at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Now,
and I swear to God that thing came through at 3:55.
I can show you a text where I text my brothers and sisters, and I said, look, as soon as he signed with the Patriots, I said, the Patriots have been talking to Drew Rosenhaus. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Now, here's the deal. The deal is this. If I was your agent, Corey,
yep,
and I tell you, God, we're dealing with a bad team, we're getting a lot of money, you know what? Conjure up some courage to get the hell out of there, and I'm going to get you with a better team. Now, the question is, do you have the courage just to act a you-know-what to get out of there? And he had the courage to do that. That's just my opinion. I think he had the courage
to just
turn over the tables to get out of there.
What I think you're saying is kind of, I think, what I agree with. I think he looks really – he acted like an ass.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, he comes out and he's where he wants to be.
He's where he wants to be.
And he made his money, and he wins.
Now
– he wins.
In my opinion –
as horrible as it is, he wins.
I think the Raiders lose. Now, how do you – as a team, manage that type of guy.
You beat Denver like you did last night.
True.
You
gave up two draft picks for him. You invested all your energy into him.
Agreed.
You threatened the culture of the team.
But here's the thing. At what point in time did Antonio Brown think that the Raiders were going to be a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, but he got traded there. He got traded there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of people thought of that. I don't know why, but.
I got you.
Hey, he's in a Super Bowl situation, and he wins.
Yeah, he does. Does anybody think tampering took place?
Yes. But you know what? I don't like, though.
Hold on. If you guys can see Corey's face right now,
I don't like.
I definitely want to say yes.
I don't like how they put him, in my opinion, ahead of all the rest of the players. And just, in my opinion, cater to him. Because I feel like when he gets away with something, as a team, you have other players who would say, well, I don't feel like practicing today. Well, now do you go to all those players who you know, not necessarily would cop an attitude, but would have an opinion about what you're doing as a coaching staff, what you're doing as an organization, just like he has, and he gets away with it. And what happens is you create resentment. I think it's great for them that he's gone, but I think they did a bad job of managing what was happening, but that doesn't take away the fact that he was constructive behind leaving.
Dave says it right, though. I mean, they gave up two first-round picks.
No, a third and a fifth. Third and a fifth.
Oh, it was a third and a fifth?
Third and a fifth.
Oh.
Yeah. Not two first-round picks.
Okay, two draft
picks.
So
they gave up some capital. They invested in him. They built a lot of their campaigns around him, promotions, et cetera. But I also think that it got to the point where they had to cut him. They had to. I think what I would have done is found a way to do what Andy Reid did. We lived through this, by the way, in 2004. Were you you were old enough to remember?
I was in fourth grade.
So T.O. went through the whole thing, and then the Eagles put him on a suspended list. So essentially, they prohibited him from signing somewhere else.
Sit ups in the driveway era.
The only thing different is that they had a report date.
Look at Pops back there.
And then he got suspended.
That was it?
Yeah.
That was
a driveway thing. Yeah. 2004, he was great. 2005, he got suspended, had to sit out the rest of the year, and then signed with the Cowboys after the 2005 season. That's the only thing I would have liked to have seen happen, is that Antonio Brown would not have been able to sign somewhere else.
Well, tell me this. Let's talk about the timeline in which I think, you know, what I heard. Once he made an apology, the fine came after the apology.
Right. The announcement of that.
Why?
I think the Raiders handled it poorly. Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
They didn't do it right.
Why at that point? And then you say he's going to play.
Keep
and then the fine comes. That's what I don't understand.
Anyway, that's more than a minute, and that's more than
it's deserve. Okay. It's all right. Whatever you just did there was great.
Yes. All right. Oh, yes.
All right. All right, let's talk about winner of the week. All right. Did anybody hear Delanie Walker getting interviewed after the game?
I didn't hear. How was it?
Oh, it was fantastic. Quote, unquote, I'm going to tell you again, they were who we thought they were. Y'all can crown if you want. Crown them, but you still have to play football. It was fantastic. Talk about a thumping.
That was a thumping.
Absolute thumping, and makes you actually think Cleveland is still...
Smoke and mirrors.
Still Cleveland.
Yeah.
Still Cleveland.
Only week one, boys. Only week one.
I know, but, you know, home opener, all kinds of expectations, and they got thumped.
You know, the uniforms are sexy. You know, they look all good.
Uniforms can't win you the game.
$200,000 watch.
We know.
Yeah. $200,000
watch. Great uniform,
everybody
bad helmet.
Got bling on, and everybody got blonde.
Odell wants to wear a $350,000 watch while he plays. That's awesome.
No, look, correction,
$190,000.
I saw $350,000.
That was fake news. Oh,
that's all. I ain't touching that watch. I'm cool.
Question. Lamar Jackson, Dolphins bad, Jackson good?
Both.
Jackson good.
Yeah, I Dolphins think he is.
Bad. Jackson's pretty good. Plenty good.
I always give this analogy: when the wind blows the pole down, is the wind strong or is the pole weak? So you have.
Fred, I don't think you should be talking about my pole right now. We don't have any Viagra.
No, you don't have any
sponsorships right
okay,
now.
Okay, I didn't know we could talk like this on this show.
And we're just not allowed to.
No, I know. But I don't think the Dolphins are as good as they should be.
I heard they were jumping ship.
As a matter of fact, who was the last team to go 0-16?
The Browns.
Browns, yes.
Now, from my knowledge, there hasn't been a team to go 16-0 or 19-0 and 0-16, right? There's a possibility.
They still play the Jets twice. Wow. They still play the Bills twice. They'll get somebody.
The Jets are ticked off.
Yeah.
Well, they got Le'Veon Bell, and let's be honest, he's a stud.
How did they do? Did they play this week or this past week?
They beat Buffalo, right?
No, they lost
to Buffalo.
They had a 16-0 lead at the end of the third quarter, and they lost.
Jesus. Oh, damn.
All right, real quick. First boring tie of the season. Thank you, Detroit and Arizona.
Yeah, but what a great game.
It was not a good boring, game. I'm over the ties, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just hold on something. Murray.
Thank you.
Kick the ball. Kick the field goal from the 50-yard line or something.
Exactly. Turn it into
a kickoff.
Turn it into a soccer match.
Something. I don't want to see a tie.
Start at the 35 and move back every 5 yards.
Yeah, turn it into something 100%. That the fans want to keep watching.
Exactly,
yeah,
Freddie.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You put the two fastest players on the
field. You are an athlete and a scholar, sir. 100%. All right, followed by a great game, but last night's Saints-Texans game.
Great game.
Wow.
That was a great game.
That might be one of the better games of the season.
I hated to see the Saints win, but great game.
Oh, hold on a second. We were all crying. We're like, come on. You know, can't we get that NFC lost by you guys right now? So if, God forbid, it works out that way, we don't have to go back down to that stadium?
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody, we're going to take our first break here on Green Legion Radio. If you guys want to come up and say hi to Corey or Fred or Dave or any of the other idiots that are up here, please, by all means, do so now.
I didn't know I was an idiot.
Jeez.
I got to tell my kids, your dad's an idiot.
All right, everybody, welcome back on Green Legion Radio. We've got a couple more segments right now. Again, please make sure everybody patronizes our good friends Chickies and Pete's, especially South Philadelphia location, but all locations everywhere around the world.
Yeah, I just got to say one thing. Uh-oh. Why are you hating on my salary?
I'm not going to lie, man. I don't know how
you... can't see why
you
he's hating on salary.
Such a hater.
Because I'm a chubby bastard, and I can't understand
nobody told you to
how you keep
dry
that body
salad
hand up, and you'll see why he's hating on salary.
Jesus, it's a Caesar salad. It ain't dry. It's
good, right?
Dressing every now and then.
Yeah, there's dressing.
Okay.
It's from the earth, man.
What he's saying is people don't come to Chickies and Pete's and get a Caesar salad.
Well, I do.
Okay.
They don't come to Chickies and Pete's to spawn rabbits. We got it. Don't worry, baby.
Hey, Corey Clement, is it true, I think what you told me before the show, you had your first drink as an adult at Chickies and Pete's?
Yes, I had.
That's awesome.
It was pretty cool, pretty interesting. But
first alcoholic drink?
Yeah, out of all places. Yeah.
You guys got to take a look at Fred's basement.
You got a whole bar going, Fred?
I'm like a whiskey guy, man.
Okay.
I got about $400 of
big fan.
Good stuff.
Big fan. All right, let's get – let's get right to it. Let's get to the game. Let's talk about this. Let's have our rabbit food / vegetables first. We got to talk about it. Malik Jackson out for the year.
Yeah. So let's get the news update. So Malik Jackson, Liz Frank injury, has surgery scheduled tomorrow. Goes on IR. Done for the season. Eagles sign Akeem Spence, who started 16 games last year for the Miami Dolphins. He's been in the league since 2013. Good player.
Okay.
Speed guy, up the field guy.
Yeah.
He'll back up Tim Jernigan, Fletcher Cox, along with Hassan Ridgeway. So
Dave,
it's not a bad. You get an experienced player to replace.
Can you explain this injury?
I think the last Eagle that had a Liz Frank was Deuce Staley.
No. Jordan. Jalen Mills has one. Cravon LeBlanc has one.
But Deuce set him out for the season, right?
Well, if you have surgery, you're out for a long time.
All right.
Cravon's is not going to be out. I think it's the tendon that holds the bottom of the foot together.
Yeah,
the arch of the foot.
Yes.
And if you could fit like a quarter or something down, like the ligament is bad. So.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that. But I don't know how serious his was, so hopefully he gets back sooner.
Who's that? Malik? Cravon.
Yeah, Cravon. Yeah,
Cravon will be back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the shoes that players are wearing now that makes it. I don't know. But it's happening a lot around the league.
That's interesting.
And Deuce did have one, you're right. That's a long time. Good memory.
That one hurt.
No, seriously, Deuce brings it up a lot. Just like in the sense of awareness, like he said, shoes nowadays are not built for the tough terrain every Sunday or every day of practice, because you're still wearing your shoe down if you're going out to practice. And if you think Sunday is going to emulate the same thing, you're wrong. So it's really about the fabrication of this whole shoe game we got going now. We got to get better shoes now.
So does that make you change shoes every? Do you wear different shoes every day in practice?
Yeah, the equipment staff does a great job of just making sure you need. Don't ask if you want new cleats for the season. I mean, for the week coming up, we're always interchanging. Especially Sproles. Sproles is definitely a king at it because he doesn't play around when it comes to his feet or anything.
So he's been at it long enough.
Fred's looking at you going, we had Rusty Sweeney as the equipment manager.
I had like two shoes, two pair of shoes my whole career.
Yeah.
Like 6 years. No, I'm
back.
He's looking about this. He's looking at me like this.
Corey looked at him like, oh my God, what?
We need them. Bring them back. Bring them back.
But so that's the news today. And then they cut Alex Ellis, the tight end from Delaware. Hopefully he comes back on the practice squad.
All right.
And away we go, ready for the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, well, let's talk about the dessert now. We had our vegetables. Let's talk about the dessert, all right?
Okay.
In all fairness, Timmy Jernigan stepped up. I thought he played very well.
Yeah.
You know, that injury took place very early in the game.
So what, Tim Jernigan?
No, Malik's.
No, Malik's was end of the game.
Oh, was it the end of the game?
Yeah.
Anyway.
How drunk were you by the end
very
of the game?
Very drunk.
Yeah.
Extremely. But let's talk about the dessert. Return home, baby. DeSean Jackson. All right. Come on. 154 yards, 8 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 2 over 50 yards, passing Randy Moss for number 2 all-time 50-yard touchdown catches, receptions or more. Look out, Jerry Rice. He only has 36.
He's only 6 behind Jerry. I mean, it was kind of the way everybody hoped it would go, right? It's the same. He gets into a fight early in the game, just like he did when he came back to Philly with Washington. And then he breaks the backs of the Washington Redskins. With speed, Corey, what's amazing about him, and Fred, the guy's 32 years old. He is just as fast as he was when he came into the league. How in the world is that possible?
Yeah, well, it's amazing. I mean, first of all, he's a great athlete. And for a guy to sustain, you know, that ability for that long, it's just amazing. And you know, as you mentioned, he got into a fight early. That's his character. It's who he is. He's not going to get tossed out of the game.
He's going to trash talk all day.
But he's going to stir it up, and the next thing you know.
And, Corey, we're going to get to that.
He walks out the door.
Sheesh.
I'll be the first one to tell you, for the first couple seasons, especially when he got knocked by from the Falcons, laid out in his second or third season, I'm like, this guy is just too small to have any longevity in the league. And every year he's back, and every year it seems he hasn't missed a step.
Yeah,
he has not missed a step.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes – okay, you agree with me?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, even at practice, no deep balls are nothing to him.
He's 170 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
And a stud. Complete stud.
Perfect addition. This offense is so loaded. So many running backs, so many wide receivers, two great tight ends. Offensive line, by the way, played great football against a very good front of the Washington Redskins. So, and Carson, by the way, looked like Carson Wentz. We all can't forget.
Can we all agree?
But you know what? Here's my question to you, Dave. I have my perspective about it, but what happened the first half?
I think Eagles, I will tell you this, and Corey may disagree. I think the Eagles were, A, hyped, and then, B, I think they came out a little emotionally flat, maybe thinking a little bit too much of themselves.
It just went, I don't know. It's one of those things you can't even put your finger on it. We wanted to find the groove as early as possible, but at the same time, you got to realize it's the nature of the game. Nothing's going to go your way however you want to plan it. If you think A is going to happen, B is already going to be thrown into your face. So just don't even think about anything too long.
Yeah.
Just focus on that down and just that specific.
And I am going to have a conversation with the defense because I did take the Eagles with the points. They can't give up that late touchdown, man.
I knew people would be bumming about that.
I think one thing that's important is that, especially for an offense, from an offensive standpoint, is that you have to create a rhythm. Now think about the offensive players that did not play in a preseason game.
They created,
in my opinion, they created a rhythm that first half.
They
made the mistakes. We did what we needed to do.
Now
we're ready to go.
But you know what? If you really look at that game, so the first drive, Eagles are moving down the field. They get a run, Darren Sproles run. They get to 3rd and 2, and then Deshaun gets the penalty for fighting. So it's 3rd and 17. That kills that drive. And then they're coming back the other way in the second quarter, and it's 4th and 2. And they throw the pass incomplete,
yeah,
and that kills that drive. So if those two drives had been sustained,
yeah,
then you might have something going on. I just think there's
offense. But that's still part of creating a rhythm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know.
From Corey's standpoint, I'd like to know what is it like in that running back room, and how do you kind of, like, balance being frustrated that you don't get the touches you know you can do a lot with, mm-hmm, with, you know, the idea that you got so many talented players there?
It just comes down to just realizing last year or 2 years ago, I've always had to been the patient back.
Yeah.
If anything, that's been my thing. Whenever I pop in there, I try to make the most noises possible, whatever time they do give me, but I don't complain because I still got special teams I can still make a name on. And, just building that team and that camaraderie in that building is definitely what comes first, because people don't realize –
yeah.
If it's not a team first driven thing, then this team is all off balance.
And that's always been one of my beefs with the Eagles, that they rotate too many running backs. Because, just as I mentioned earlier, just like you have a quarterback, he has to create a rhythm. Wide receivers have to create a rhythm. Running backs have to create a rhythm as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a yard here, 2 yards here, three here.
And you come
but
out.
But the fourth one, you may break it.
Yeah.
So put one guy, put Corey in there. Give him 25 carries.
Waiting for that day again, Corey. I'm not going to lie.
I'm waiting for that
and
day.
And sub everybody in.
To be honest, coming from Wisco, 30 plus carries a game. I don't think
Darren Sproles is going to be getting 9 carries a game.
Well,
I love him, but I think I just don't see it happening.
I was watching Quickslants yesterday, and apparently part of the game plan was not to run north and south because of the big guys that Washington had up front. Which is why Darren got majority of the carries, because he could break the edge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still am a proponent of smash mouth football.
When did the D tackle go out? Was he out
early? Jonathan Allen went out early. Yeah, he went out early. Hey, look,
this can run the ball.
This team can beat you in a lot of different ways, and we're going to see that moving up Sunday night. Really fast, Atlanta Falcons. I know we're going to talk about them later, Quimby. But I think the Eagles have so many weapons.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. And that the key is obviously good health. And B, everybody has to remain very selfless.
Of course.
And team first. And, you know, we just got done talking about Antonio Brown. And everybody thinks it's going to be
easy.
Exactly. Everybody thinks it's going to be so easy to do. What the Eagles have going on in that locker room, in the building, in the city, is very special.
Yeah.
Very special.
It has been for quite some time.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Since Doug got here.
I do want to ask a couple questions, and Dave or Corey or Fred, any of them. The secondary, all right. What are we missing? Yeah. What are we missing here? What
First of all, hold on.
No.
Don't overreact.
I'm not going to overreact. I get it. One game, one half.
Give him some sound.
They missed a tackle. Big Vernon Davis touchdown run. Then the cornerback got beat.
Yeah.
But we could also throw no McGloin in there and an overthrown no pass. That would have been six more.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda. You got to get a pass rush. You got to be better in the back. And Jim Schwartz said today he wants his defensive backfield to cover better. And now you got Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Austin Hooper, the tight end. You got a big challenge.
Don't scare me.
On Sunday night.
Sorry.
Well, we'll see how the Eagles respond.
Sorry. I'm sorry. We're going to get to that. And that's a precursor to our next segment. It's the same trio. It's Matt Ryan. It's Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman, and I'm sorry. It's like the lease on the car that's so many over its miles. I don't find them as potent as they used to be. I mean, they both can break a play, or all three of them can do something special.
I think they can make plays if you allow
them
to.
You just put up 12 points against Minnesota.
Exactly.
All right, now Minnesota's got a great defense, but I'm sorry. If you're designed that way, if your offense is designed to break play, Devonta Freeman is supposed to be a stud. Julio Jones is supposed to be able to bring down anything from anywhere, and you put 12 up.
Wait a minute. Matt Ryan got sacked four times.
Okay.
He got intercepted twice. They had a punt blocked. They lost their first-round draft pick. They're starting right guard. I mean, I know everybody likes to hug Corey Clement and high-five Fred Barnett and all
these, rabbit food.
All these guys, all the pretty boys of the league, score all the touchdowns. But it comes down to the offensive line and the defensive line.
Of course. True.
And they got their asses kicked by the Vikings.
Well, you know what? Let's do that. We're going to get to that segment here in just a moment. Also, coming back from this song break, we are going to get to know Corey. All right, a little personal. And I have a question I've been dying to ask you for a while. But we'll be back on Green Legion Radio right after this. All right, everybody. We're back for another segment of Green Legion Radio here at Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia with Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. Eagles alumni and Hall of Fame receiver, as far as I'm concerned, Arkansas Fred Barnett.
No, don't lie like that.
No, it's okay, baby. I love you.
He would have been if he didn't go to Miami.
And, of course, Super Bowl hero, Super Bowl 50 hero, Corey Clement. I got
52.
Was it 52?
Clement.
I'm getting there.
He's a little nervous. Clement.
A
little nervous.
I'm a little nervous.
Corey Clement.
Wait. Clement.
Damn it.
Yo, CC, Clement, what up?
Yo, what up? That's cool.
All right, first, I'm going to start this off because we have a segment right now. If you guys want to come up, please, by all means, take a picture with Fred. Take a picture with Corey, Clement.
I'm getting up. I'm out.
Right, if you get it wrong again, make him finish your salad.
Right.
There's a segment that we want to have with every player. It's going to be short, but it's we want to get to know you, a little bit about you, a little bit personal. Now, we do know you're a hometown boy, for all intents and purposes. You're 24 years old.
See.
You're from Glass. You said see?
Si.
Espanol?
Si.
Si? Mi espanol es terrible, amigo.
Un poquito.
Okay. All right. Next time we go to Costa Rica, we'll talk about that.
Si.
You're from Glass. We'll go to Glassboro. Are you still, where do you live now? Without giving somebody
give
a physical
address.
I'm still in the South Jersey area.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm still in the South
But
Jersey
you are originally from Glassboro.
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. So when you heard on the wire you picked up by the Eagles,
yep.
Knowing this city, knowing this town,
yep.
Were you nervous? Were you excited? Were you elated? Was it a combination of all three?
To be honest, I was excited, emotional. The emotions were very high. I was excited as hell, and then I realized, I'm like, damn. I get a chance to play in my backyard. Like,
right?
This is, it could be good, it could be bad.
Yeah. Right.
And I know when you have a bad game, people love to talk, and I'm like in the heart of where I know mostly everybody.
Right.
And so I put myself up against the biggest test. So now it's not really a test for me. Now I can really kind of feel it out and just say, hey, it's still football at the end of the day. And if you do have a negative comment to say about me, I highly doubt you'll say it into my.
But why would anybody have a negative comment? You're an example of a hometown kid who made it big.
Yeah.
You think there's just jealousy?
There's always that fine line of somebody who sits behind a desk and wants to type something up
right.
just to make your day
you
go
know
worse.
How you media people are.
Yeah.
Hey,
I know.
It's true.
It's
true.
Right.
I don't think
yeah, you know,
I don't think
yeah,
it's media.
But.
Yeah, you know
yeah,
it.
But.
Yeah, but.
No, but right. I don't think it's media.
Biggest one. Yeah, but.
I don't think it's something. Media. You're angry.
You won the Super Bowl. All yeah,
years,
but.
All those years of anger coming up. But it's not the media, Fred. It's now social media.
Yeah, but.
Fred, it's social media. It's not sports writers. It's social media.
It is now.
What are the challenges, Corey, of playing at home? Is it like too many people want tickets, too many people want access?
I can't imagine that.
Too many people want your time?
I can't imagine
it's
that.
It's still, I mean, it's year three for me, and it hasn't gotten better. I try to be nice at the same time, but, like, some people really love to take my kindness for granted, and they want to overstep the boundaries all the time.
Absolutely every idea, baby.
All the time, and I try to put it through my agent and say, hey, go through him, but they'll still try to find a backdoor method to get
right,
me.
Right.
The sweet talk and then
those cousins that you didn't talk to.
And I ain't got time. I don't got time for this year.
Dude,
so
you my
year,
fifth really, cousin.
Right.
I really don't care as much about the ticket distribution. I'm trying to get everything back in order.
You my grandmother's cousin.
Exactly.
what are you looking for know, five tickets? You my grandmother's
this,
cousin.
I know this kid. All right. So by the way, did you text Melvin Gordon and tell him not to mess with Spanos and his money?
Nah, I didn't text him. I was about to hit him up because I saw the little trade rumors we might get him, but I let him be.
Could you? That wouldn't have sucked. All right, I got to ask this question. I've been dying to ask this question.
Uh-oh. Oh boy!
All right,
drum roll.
Yeah, no. Say, ooh, do I have that? I think I have that.
You don't have a drum roll.
Or a buttered roll.
Or even worse.
You need to get this salad then if you ain't got a drum roll.
Yeah.
A buttered roll.
I got it. No. Even worse than a drum roll.
Uh-oh.
Crickets.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about an iconic play.
Gotta hear okay. this.
All right. Let's talk about a Super Bowl.
Okay.
In which you were considered one of the heroes without question. Let's talk about number 30, Daron Harmon.
Yep, let's talk about him.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I don't know where
I'm
you're
sorry,
going
Mr. Football Knowledge.
I want to hear this.
Yeah,
I want to know. I want to know, did he say something about your mother before that play? Because you treated him like your bitch. You put him down so hard and so fast, he is still bouncing on that turf.
I just had to be I saw the end zone. That was the only thing I saw. So he was kind of like a, I don't know, like a. He had to get out of my way. Whatever was in my way,
you got to move. Excuse
somebody,
me.
You got to move. You don't got to be in my way, but you got to move your ass.
I
got to go straight.
If he didn't say anything about you or your family in the,
he still
in
got the same treatment
on the way back.
Same
did
treatment.
You at least say, "Yo, your mom"?
Nah, I think the Philly special was cooking up after that play, so I couldn't do too much talking.
You and by the way. If most people look, or anybody looks at that play and breaks it down from the end zone angle, was Chung 23?
Yeah.
Yep.
He face masked you. Do you know that, right? That's the only reason why you went down.
God damn.
Look at it.
I got face masked and
you
I
got
didn't
face
even know
masked.
It.
You got face masked on that play and you went down at the 8-yard line.
Yeah. And I saw Mac
that
Collins
is the only reason why you didn't get
I'm
in.
So
you
upset
had that?
I didn't keep left.
I got to go watch this now.
If I kept left.
Look at it.
Mac Collins was right there.
I got you. Hey, guess what? Doesn't matter.
It don't matter. No
doesn't matter.
We
don't
got
matter.
It.
Guess what?
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest plays we've ever seen. And thank you for that.
Oh, no problem.
Not going to lie.
Hey, Corey, how many times have you watched that play?
I've seen it at least over probably 200 times now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've probably seen it.
Yeah, it's going to be 201 before you leave.
Yeah.
Did you catch it?
I caught that thing for sure.
Were you sweating it out on the sidelines?
You know, when it did slow it down a bit, I'm like, they're gonna take it back from me. This is my moment that I dreamed of that is quickly going to be taken away from me. So go ahead and take it away if you got to.
Now, we went to the playoffs, what, twice in 6 years?
Yeah.
My year's here? Mm. How is it, Corey? I mean, when we won the playoffs, it was absolutely amazing.
New Orleans.
I can't imagine. And I had two touchdowns that game, so it was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. You know, we're going to the next round. Explain to me how it feels to win the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah. That, to be honest, is still.
Oh, can you even explain it?
It's one of these feelings that will never escape, but it's one of those feelings I want to feel again.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. Yep. It's the best, basically, ecstasy you could possibly feel on the planet. The best moment was watching Tom run out in his cocky form, yeah, pumping up the wrong crowd. This is our end zone over here, guys. So
yeah.
If you want to be a tough guy, then we'll have the whole team over here hooting and hollering too. But
we took a group out for that one day because, first of all, who wants to go to Minnesota?
Nobody.
Yeah.
So we came in that morning, partied, went to the game, got back on the plane right after. And let me tell you.
Was it a party on a plane?
You saw that plane in Wolf of Wall Street, right?
I saw it.
Mm-hmm. What's so interesting, I think, from a fan perspective now, you really, of course, I was rooting for the Eagles, but I really didn't know how attached I was to the team. Now, I went to my buddy's house, and when the game was over, we were jumping up and down like, oh, my God. And I started crying.
Yep.
And I'm like, what the hell am I crying for? And I'm like, I couldn't even stop crying.
Because you're a man.
It was, of course, because I'm a man. I eat salad, of course.
Right.
But it just made me realize how attached I was to this team and, you know, the success of this team. And I felt it. I felt, you know, what they felt.
Once Philadelphia embraces you, and there's a couple athletes, Owens, T.O., for example.
That was the biggest family feeling I ever felt.
If he just... I get it. You know, there's three sides to every story.
Yeah.
His side, her side, his side, his side, her side, and what actually happened. But once this city embraces you, you're trapped. You're done.
You're made.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And in all fairness, there's truly no reason to leave. Because it will embrace you constantly.
Yep.
As you and I know. We haven't talked about anything Green Legion, but real fast, Miami, 1,550 people going down right now, including every single idiot in this room on this side. Sorry, Fred, there's a lot of idiots.
Yeah,
a lot of smiles.
I'm going.
Joining us for our Legion Legends pep rally party at the Parrot in historic Fort Lauderdale. Is Fred Barnett, and yeah. I couldn't be happier to have you come down, man.
Thank you for inviting me.
Please,
I'll be there.
Please. But
I can't wait till they kick the Dolphins.
This is what Philadelphia does.
So Corey, that's what Quimby does. Quimby organizes all these fans who go on the road. They all go through Green Legion.
Okay.
So he organizes all these fan trips. So for example, do you have anything going on this weekend in Atlanta?
We do. As a matter of fact, it's a great party we have coming up. Former Eagle Carlos Emmons.
Great linebacker.
And Hollis Thomas will be hosting a party for the Pitt-Penn State game, a watch party, at Carlos Emmons Bar called B51 in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta, not Buckhead?
Buckhead.
Is it Buckhead?
It's Buckhead.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, Carlos went to Arkansas State?
I think he went to...
I don't know.
I don't know where he went to school.
I think he went to Arkansas State.
Carlos Emmons, linebacker, number 51, strong side guy. He was good.
Stud. He played
angry. Played just before he won the Super Bowl. Then he went to the Giants.
Giants, yes.
Well, he got paid, too.
I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying.
Corey, one more question, brother, and then a few more people that would love to come up and say hi. I want to know, when you're not playing football, when you're not in season, what's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing to always do is make music.
Music?
Yeah, I'm always on it.
Studio.
I just came from the studio, so
really?
I'm always at it.
Elaborate just a bit.
I got a project coming out that's probably going to be done next year. Just taking my time with everything, just enjoying the football side of things and enjoying something I want to do on my own so I don't go crazy just drilling football in my head.
So do you do music? Lyrics? Do you the whole nine?
Do the production behind the lyrics.
And just so you know, our producer, Rob Belivas, has been stalking you.
That's a little bit. There goes me.
Rob, come on. You can say something.
I'm the only... Well, Dave's here, so I'm the second journalist here. I got to make sure I have all your stuff right. I did work for Big Daddy Graham for 3 years.
I appreciate it.
No problem, Corey.
Sending out prayers for
Ability
Big Daddy
to sing
Graham,
like Bruno Mars, huh?
Hey, man, I wish I could, man.
I like it. I like this. surprisingly good at making breakfast. Brother, I never want to wake up in the morning and have Corey making me breakfast.
You don't want my breakfast?
Yeah. All right, maybe I do.
Come on, man. I make some good. Listen, I can make you some good pancakes.
As long as you don't give him a salad.
You having a salad on the side. You got to. Daily greens are appropriate.
Spinach pancakes.
Oh my God! And this just went downhill quick.
Yeah, he doesn't do smoothies.
Egg white and spinach.
We all do smoothies.
Oh dang!
Falcons. Let's talk about them real quick. We only got a couple minutes here. What do you know about the Falcons' defense? Really fat. I mean, you played them enough here in the last couple of years.
We always know they have a stout front. They love to have a jam front. Kelsey always has work cut out for them. The front five is always doing their dominance. We know their back end is definitely can get nosy in a secondary, but like you said, we have a lot of weapons that takes the top off of defense in the heartbeat. And like I said, our run to pass ratio is definitely going to keep excelling as the season goes on, as we keep clicking.
What do players do all day waiting for the game to start? What is the routine? Fans always ask me that question.
To be honest, we're not doing much.
Yeah.
If anything, we have at least one to two walkthroughs, depending on if you play at 8:30 at night. But if you have a 1 o'clock game, you'll have an early, you won't have a walkthrough. Probably 4:30 game if you have that start. But anything, we're just sitting around waiting for the game just to start, just like you guys are.
Do you watch games?
No, I don't watch games.
You don't watch football?
No.
Well, you just asked who won some games.
Last week.
Who won this game? Who won that game?
When we're done playing football,
I'm
not watching football.
Hey, that's great. You know what that means? The only person or game that he cares about is the next one.
Focus, man.
I'm not watching nobody else. I'm worried about what we're doing and what we got next. Come on.
I love it. Corey, predictions for this Sunday?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Point blank, we're going to win.
All right.
All right, let's do it that way. That's my
I got to ask a personal favor of you.
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
You better come on this side, Corey.
I don't know why, Fred. You're embellishing and you're helping my cause.
Uh-oh.
I've been running road trips for Eagles fans since 2003.
Yeah.
Our first time playing in Atlanta was 2005 on a Monday night game where Kevin Mathis and Jeremiah Trotter got into it in the pregame warm-up and both got tossed out of the game. Let's be honest, Mathis, useless. Trotter, our all-pro middle linebacker.
Yeah.
It was a good move. We lost that game 15-10 after David Akers missed two field goals under 45 yards. And I will tell you, we have not won a game in Atlanta since.
Wow. That's why you asked me.
So.
Really?
That's why you asked me.
Lay down the fucking hammer, man.
I got you.
Lay it
down.
Never mind.
Wait. I didn't know that was the case.
What year is this?
2005.
2005.
But how many games have you played in Atlanta? We've lost four.
Everyone.
Really?
That's about to end. New stadium, first time in Mercedes-Benz Dome. Yeah. Let's go do it.
It's time.
Corey, I don't know. Hey,
No, just.
I'll send it in.
We should only win then. I didn't know that was the case on why you were asking me that.
Oh, yeah, man.
I thought he was saying get in a fight.
Exactly. I'm not getting in a fight.
Hey, get in a fight. Do something.
I ain't got time for
that. I don't know. Fire everybody up.
I ain't got time. They always finding somebody. I don't got time for that.
They talk a lot, too, that team.
Shoot.
They talk a lot.
Everybody, from Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia, on behalf of my good friends Dave Spadaro, Rob Valivas producing.
We're back next week.
Corey, Clement, my man.
Now we got it.
Yeah. And Arkansas Fred Barnett, who I hope to see again. And we're going to discuss a little whiskey afterwards, as well as our correspondent Phillies and soon-to-be Flyers, Chris Sack. Pops, how you doing, baby? Tree Murphy helping me out with the audio. Well, Rex Conroy saying nothing about leadership this week, thank God. And the rest of our friends from the Green Legion. We appreciate you coming out. We will be here again next week from 6 to 7. Come back. Anybody wants to come up and say hi to Corey or Fred or Dave or anybody else, please do so. We will see you next week.